Okay, welcome back to Brain Basement Podcast. We're so happy to be here and excited to talk about journaling today and how that helps with our mental processing. So before we get started, let's take 3 deep breaths. Just allow yourself that little bit of time and focus in being in your own body. So maybe closing your eyes, taking a deep inhale in wherever you are in your day, seeing if you can just bring that attention to your breath, and a deep exhale, fully releasing, feeling your shoulders softening, your neck relaxing, your jaw relaxing, emptying your belly. And another deep breath in, filling your lungs, bringing that fresh oxygen to your brain, softening your eyes. And when you're ready to exhale, releasing, relaxing, see if you can release the breath all the way through your legs, even down to your toes. Relaxing your hands. And the third breath, breathing in, filling up, noticing the space that your body exists in right now, the space that you take up, checking in. And as you exhale, softening, relaxing, letting that tension melt away. Any parts of your body that you feel are tight, see if you can deliberately bring some softness there. And bringing some focus to our discussion today.
Hey, Angie. Thank you for that. I was trying to hold back the laughter in the middle of that because my baby girl is supposed to be napping and I hear her yelling from her room. So if that's recorded, my apology.
Was she calling out like deep breaths, deep breaths?
I think I heard her say, "Hey, everyone." So that's appropriate.
Yes, right? She's just saying hello to the world.
Right. Oh, well, I am excited for this topic. So this month, kind of continuing the theme that we started with our chats with Meredith about, our first 2 weeks were about how what we eat can impact our brains. And that was really interesting to explore. And yeah, today, like you said, we're going to be talking about journaling and writing and how that impacts our brains and just our mental, the way we process things. And if there's research out there that really says that it makes a difference to the way that our brains function and process things, which little giveaway, there is research out there.
There is. Spoiler alert. There's research. I like that, just bringing in, because when I think of mindfulness and foreign service life and being more meditative or deliberate, I don't necessarily think about like eating or writing, like physical things that we can do, that I just think of like my brain there floating somewhere, like that has to do with mindfulness. But remembering that there are all these components to it, it's kind of fun to explore.
Yeah, it really is. And kind of going back to what we said in the first episode this month, like the idea of a gym for brains and mental fitness, like there are exercises that we can do, which is really cool. Cause like you said, it's just this thing that kind of feels like we can't do anything about it, but we kind of can.
Yeah.
Really. So.
And journaling is one of those things that it almost sounds trite, right? Like every single website you go to or any, it's like, oh, journal about that, journaling. And I think I maybe sometimes can write it off or just, yeah, I've heard that before. So I'm interested to hear what you have to say when we dig in.
Yeah, I think my initial thoughts about journaling is what I used to do, and that was more of like a travelogue. You know, I thought journaling was recording the happenings of life, like the comings and goings and what we did on March 2nd, you know, 2001 or whatever. But I think the way it's evolved for me in terms of how I've used it to help my mental and emotional state is I kind of use it as a place to write about whatever's on my mind in a very unfiltered way. So I kind of equate it to if I were talking to a really good friend and I just felt wound up about something and I just needed to dump on somebody, and they're such a good friend that I don't leave out any of the details, and all the judgments are there and all the drama, and they just get it all. So kind of instead of it being, you know, verbally to a friend, I've kind of treated it like that, but on paper. And there is something about that that has really, really helped me and become a practice to me. Like you said, it does feel like it can be so trite when you just hear about journaling, writing, like, what does that do? But I think for me, it gets my brain outside of me and on paper so that it's not wound up with all the emotions around it, if that makes sense. Like it doesn't have the emotional charge behind it. And so I can kind of get it out of me and just look at it from a place of an observer. Mm-hmm. Instead of it just like swirling around inside of me. So I think that's like the evolution of journaling for me. And, you know, sometimes I dip back into the travel log, whatever, just for the sake of having like family history documented. But that's kind of my practice for my brain. Mm-hmm. I don't always do it. But when I'm like spinning out, a lot of times I'll be like, oh, I need to go do that.
Yeah.
So what is it to you? Like, what are your initial thoughts?
Similar to me, but I think of writing for me, I liked writing as a kid. I like my handwriting. And then as I got a little older, I think of like passing notes. And also I'm thinking of this because we recently moved again and my dad gave me a bunch of boxes from the attic. And so I've got all my, you know, like these Hello Kitty journals and things that I had in, you know, fifth grade, but all these notes that I was writing to my friends back and forth. And then we even had notebooks, like composition notebooks between two like best friends. And we would just like, I would write to her in third period and then I would give her the notebook and then she would write in fourth period and we would write back and be like, and we're really not even saying anything when I went back and read them, but there was so much writing and my kids, I would read some of them out loud and my kids were like, geez, what is this? And it was so foreign to them because they don't write with pens on paper the way that we do. And I also have boxes of all the letters my husband and I were writing when we were dating, and he was at boot camp and Paris Island with the Marine Corps, and he's the young 18-year-old, and I'm writing to him from college, and they just don't have that component to their life. And yeah. I really have noticed over the years that there is something about putting pen to paper. It is different than typing. And this is another area where I know there's been scientific research done, but it's definitely accessing different parts of our brains, just putting the pen to the paper, and there's a different action happening there for us. So, and then I wrote journals, and I remember even one time being really stressed out at, I was actually at beach week. So I was, you know, 17 probably. And we were all at the beach with all my friends, and people had drank too much. It was a sort of like a scary moment. And I took a Vogue magazine, and I was just writing in the margins. I remember hiding in my room and writing in the margins and probably like sobbing onto the paper. Mm. But it was like I had to write to feel, to like process what was happening. I could feel it all, but it was too much. But like you said, it gave me a little bit of distance to be able to get it out of what's in my head. There was so much in my head and with my emotions, and I could feel like, oh, I'm sad about that, and I'm disappointed here, and I'm upset about this, and I'm worried about that. And if I could write it, I could separate the emotions and say, oh, there is worry, there's overwhelm, there's fear, all of this is in here, instead of feeling it all and not knowing what all is in there and what else is. So writing became really valuable to me then. At that time, I wrote a lot and kept journals. And as an adult, I read The Artist's Way, which suggests writing 3 pages every morning as a no matter what, you know, practice. And it has to be 3 pages because you start with, like you said, like the travelogue or something deliberate. And then seeing where your mind goes when you know you have to keep writing, yeah. It really does bring something up for me. So I try to do that from time to time.
That's cool. I read a quote just in preparing for this that said, it was from a journalist, and she said, writing in your journal is only the only way to find out what you should be writing about. So kind of going to what you were saying, you know, I've talked to people that say, I just don't journal. Like it's, I don't even know how, like, where do I start? Mm-hmm. And I like that idea of just, well, you just start writing. Like, I know there's tons of journals out there that are prompted journals, and mm-hmm. especially now, right? They just seem so popular, like different mindfulness journals that kind of lead you through different questions and even exercises. But I like that idea of just, it doesn't have to look perfect. You don't have to have like a really fancy notebook. It can be like a napkin or like the margins of a Vogue magazine or just any random paper and yeah, a pencil.
Yeah, I think that's all you need. That's what's key for me. And I think, I'm sure there are people that can do a lot with the prompts and that's helpful. But yeah, for me, it's just a paper and pen anywhere I can find it, and it's scraps of paper. And I tear it up afterwards. Usually after I write my morning pages, I definitely tear it up, or I do burn my journals, which my kids also have. they'll have so many stories to tell when they grow up, because I'm out on the balcony of our house in Azerbaijan, like trying to light the composition book on fire, and we have to run out and pour water on it, and I'm staining the tile. So, you know, but there is something about, like, I'm not writing for anyone else. Yeah. I definitely, I'm not writing with, you know, any corrections in mind or editing. I just want to get it out. And I think that is useful to me. And now as I'm older, it's kind of translated in mom life to my schedule a little bit. People will ask me, Angie, are you free, you know, next Thursday? And then my son will say, like, I need a ride to the whatever. And I have to have it written. I have to like stop, wait, let me write all this out. Each day I kind of write out so that I'm coordinating my driving and where I'm going and how, what time it's all going to work out, because if I can see it on paper, I can understand it so much better than when I'm trying to keep it in my head.
Yeah, no, I can totally relate. And I know you and I always joke about how many notebooks we have floating around our houses. Like, so many, it's a little out of control, but
Yeah, I have a little addiction to notebooks, and I do just for this podcast. I brought three notebooks down here. I have a spiral notebook, a composition book, and a flip pad in front of me. Those are, I was like, I have to collect all my journaling notes.
Oh yeah. No, it's super important. I carry a tote bag around with like five inside, and the family just knows that that goes with mom. Yes. Nobody knows what's inside, but the secret is it's like five different notebooks. But well, one thing I was looking into this week, kind of talking about the research of it, and we can just even link to a couple of these in the show notes. But one study I read talked about how expressive writing really does offer mental and emotional health benefits. So one of these was done in 2018, and it involved two groups of people, and everyone was struggling with anxiety. So there was a control group, and then the other group, the invitation was to write for 15 minutes a day, three times a week for 12 weeks. And it was a reflective writing practice. And basically, I mean, it kind of feels like a no-brainer, but the outcome really was lower level, like it lowered their anxiety, it lowered their mental distress, their perceived stress went down, and they said that the resilience increased, which I just think in my head, it makes sense because just from my own life, I have felt that, but to see it, you know, replicated in these studies, I think is just cool. Mm-hmm. And it kind of goes back to what you were saying. It makes sense that journaling is kind of everywhere, and it's a part of all these different treatment plans, mm-hmm. or just life plans for kind of coping with the ups and downs of everything.
I'm surprised by that. Three times a week, 15 minutes a day doesn't even seem like such a big deal.
Yeah.
That's doable. It doesn't have to be every day. It doesn't have to be three pages every morning. That seems much more reasonable or attainable, I think. I think it's one thing I was, I just forgot what I'm going to say. I have to think about this. Wait, what was I talking about? I'm not even pausing the recording. Wait. So one thing this brings to mind is in kind of the realm of organization is when you said you have so many things happening inside and writing it down helps you see it, is a lot of people will say, I have so much to do. I have too much to do. I have too much on my plate. And when I write out my list, like I hardly ever have more than 20 things, even at the most, you know, busy time in my life. If I write down everything that I need to get done and I have to contact the movers and make sure everyone has their, you know, their travel bag with them and find the passports and I have to get the school document. Even if I write the whole list out, it's usually 20. It's not, yeah. I mean, it's usually less than 20 and 20 at the most. And I heard something about this somewhere, I can't remember where, that said that's true for most people. It's hardly, we don't have 200 things to do. And in our head, we're thinking about it as so overwhelming. And when you write down the list, some people only have 8 things on their list, you know, and they were thinking, I just have too much to do. There's so much going on. And so I also think of that in terms of physical versus digital. Another organization book that I was reading, I think by David Allen, he mentioned how things used to be physical before computers. You were doing tasks and you were completing, you know, paperwork and putting it in the done pile, or you were like sealing an envelope and mailing the bill had been paid and you knew that things had gotten done. And now with so much being digital, you can't quite remember if you paid the bill online or didn't pay it online, or was that last month, because we don't have a physical component to it. And so I think that's true for writing and our to-do list and for what we are holding in our mind of just tasks in our head. Like, I need to write those a thank you email to the grandparents, and I need to make sure I submit that school form for the kids. And when it's not written down, not, I guess this doesn't relate to journaling as much, but for me, it's the same thing with the journaling. When the task list is written down, I can see it clearly, I can understand it. And when I write my thoughts and my feelings and just what is happening today, even if I start off with like, I'm glad the sun is out today, I'm not really writing about anything super important. I'm not trying to get to the soul of my feelings. I'm just starting with that. I'm happy for this cup of coffee, something, a note of gratitude. I think that that is helpful to me in some way.
Yeah, I think that's true for me too. And kind of going along with that, it, like you said, before you start writing or you make your list, it's often the message you're telling yourself is, I have too much to do, mm-hmm. or I can't handle this. But something shifts with the act of writing, the physical act of writing, whether it's a list or, yeah, you're journaling. And for me, that resonates. Like, something about writing it down kind of cuts the drama down mm-hmm. a little bit. And the message I'm telling myself often is different. Like, maybe mm-hmm. I still feel like I have a ton to do, but at least, like you said, I can see what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's not just like this weird, fuzzy confusion inside of me that I can't like logically work through. But I think that helps for sure, is cutting down on the messages I'm giving myself, the really dramatic ones where I think the message often on the other side of writing down is, okay, this is doable, or I got that out of me, and so I can kind of have a little bit more space.
Yeah.
Move around.
Yeah.
It lives somewhere else now, like it's on the piece of paper or.
And yeah. Your analogy of like talking to a good friend feels very real to me too. It's cathartic in that way of just getting everything out. And I mean, that makes me think back to all these high school notes that I have as well. And we're writing to each other and are like, I'm mad at my parents and my parents at this, and now I'm grounded. And it's just, you're just dumping all those feelings that you're holding inside you. It's just like a way to express them all. And really, if there's no one on the other end of that, if no one ever reads that note, you still got to write it and get it out there. So,
yeah, so I think there's something to it all. There's this writer that I follow. Her name's Ashley May Hoyland. And she actually posted this last night, which I was so happy about because I knew that this convo would be happening. But she's a beautiful writer. I love the way she writes. But she said in her post, she said, for me, life is the sail and writing is the wind that takes me places. The act of writing is not an easy or complacent one, but a work that shows me who I am and surprises me in what it teaches me I am capable of. And she teaches writing classes, like expressive writing classes for women, and to be able to find their voice in writing. And it's a work, you know, she regards it as a work, like she said, and it ultimately helps her see, yeah, who she is and what she's capable of. But I love that imagery of like, life is a sail and writing is the wind that mm-hmm. takes, that helps her to move. So
very cool. Yeah. One time I heard Jewel, the artist, the singer who sings Who Will Save Your Soul, and she was talking about writing, and it was at the National Book Festival on DC on the Mall. And so I was down there and she was live and speaking about her writing, and she had such a great story. I remember it was 8 years ago, but I remember her having really powerful words about when I wrote something, it was like it was real. It had happened to me. And of course, all of her songs are very emotional and just have an authentic voice. So I really, that made an impression on me that writing is valuable. Just these, not as a writer, as an author who's, you know, well known and creating something amazing for the world, but just having so much purpose for myself, for my own mental health. And it's something you can do. It's that one of those things that at 3 a.m. when you've just moved somewhere, you're totally isolated, you know, no one else around you, you can have a place to put that stuff.
Yeah. And it's just kind of cool to think about, like you said, it's not reserved for writers, like quote unquote writers. Like these are stories, like stories of people's lives in their real and raw form being recorded, and maybe they get torn up or burned, which I do too. But maybe someday we'll have a record of all of it. And yeah, it's just kind of cool to think about recording your own story, owning your truth through writing.
It is. It's fun. I also get kind of geeky about like handwriting analysis. Whenever I see anything about that, I'm so interested to see how they determine your openness and honesty based on how loopy your handwriting is, or your slanting to the right or the left. Like all the technicalities of writing are also kind of fun and interesting to me.
Yeah, I don't know much about that.
I'm not an expert, but whenever I find that stuff or in like a crime research, you know, or someone famous, like seeing their handwritten letters and notes.
That's cool. I know my kids, or I learned cursive in third grade, but that's not a thing anymore, right? Like, and my mom had a handwriting class in school, but kids don't have that, right?
Yeah. And like signing their name, even with my 19 and 18 year old, they sign their name so rarely and had to work on their signature. It was kind of funny. Different world. Well, is that about where we should wrap up for today? Do you have more thoughts or?
Well, I guess one additional thought is I just did that mindfulness-based stress reduction class. And just wanted to mention that as a resource out there, that within that course, there is a lot of expressive writing of pleasant and unpleasant moments. And I kind of liked that piece of that program, that they really incorporated writing these moments down that we could later reflect on and how we felt in those moments. And it was, you know, it's just a matter of something happening in your day and just jotting down a couple words about how you felt about it. And then being able to later reflect back so that you don't forget your reaction in that moment. But I think that was an important piece to that program for me when I took it. If anyone out there has ever heard of that or wanting to try it.
Oh, that is a cool idea. Annalie, like how were they saying, like you could do it 4 times during a day and just notice what emotions you had gone through, or how would you go back and look at a week later?
So our specific class, our teacher provided us with a little chart, kind of a calendar and prompts. And they were very simple, like record a pleasant moment and then Monday through Sunday. And how did that make you feel in the moment? How did you feel about it later when you were thinking about it later? Do you remember what thoughts you had at the time? You know, things like that. Or, and then we brought it to the group discussion and we were able to reflect on those moments and kind of catch themes, you know, between all the different vignettes that we caught throughout the week and pull out kind of where we're struggling or the things in our life that really go far for us. So it was an exercise in writing down pleasant moments and an exercise the next week in writing unpleasant moments. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was really valuable and didn't do a lot, you know, it was just very like a simple practice, just a few words. So yeah.
That is interesting. I want to try that. I want to try and write down things. Also, it's making me think that I would think differently in the moment when it happens, right? Especially with something like stressful or chaotic, I would be angry or upset or however I am in that moment. And then when I would reflect on it, I would be laughing at it, or I would have a lighter feeling because now it's over. I'm not in that moment of stress. So, you know, we can all kind of laugh about the arguments that my teenagers and I had in the morning. And later on, we can say that I can't believe we were fighting about scrambled eggs or whatever it was.
Exactly. I read somewhere a writer had said, writing or journaling is like living a moment twice. Mm-hmm. You know, you're living it in the moment. That's the first time. And then you're living it like retrospectively, and kind of what you were saying, it's interesting to notice the difference in real time versus, yeah, just reflecting back. And
yeah, exactly. Wait, this is making me think of that Mortified podcast. Have you ever heard that? It's where people read their journals. I think there's another one now of like, like it's usually comedians or someone, and they read their eighth grade journal, and it's just hilarious. They're not changing any of the words, but the way that you read it in your adult voice and the things that you were concerned about are just so easy to laugh at. But at the time, it was a hardship, you know?
Totally. And I love reading my mom's journals. And it's so cringy to me to think of my kids reading. I remember making lists of boys that I like 1 through 5, very much, you know, in order. And I remember their names, you know, and yeah, that would be hilarious to go back and read it out loud in my current, yeah, adult space. And,
yeah, very fun. All right. Well, good talk. Thanks.
Yeah.
For your sharing your thoughts on journaling.
No probs. See you next week.
All right. We'll see you next week, everyone.